This podcast is certified fresh. Freshmediaworks.com.
Vous avez un nouveau message aujourd'hui à 15h25.
Allez leur dire de notre part que personne ne nous arrête. Notre musique est un rempart sur lequel se brise toute tempête.
Je suis un auteur contemporain. Au statut d'intermittent. Pas de baillon ni de grève, j'ai dit des gros facteurs.
Liberté, c'est bien trouvé, comme lorsque nous ne pouvions pas bouger. Isolé derrière le bain.
C'est ta jeunesse, parce que je crois en nous, sans te jouer petit S. Parce que l'on prend
des barres de rire dans un bar, puis vient le coup de barre et je me barre en me disant grand barbare à barre, botter dans la bière et parler des barres comme de la barbade. Moi ça me rend barre.
Fais attention, y'a plein de radars automatiques. Monte la route, on te ramènera.
J'ai été roulé, rêve sous tes pieds. Marche, tu mens parce que tu marches sur tes rêves.
Apporte-leur ceci.
Y'a pas ton bonheur. Non, y'a pas ton.
Do you have for people today, or if somebody said to you, what is the best thing we can do to help the world be a better place to live in? What would your thought be at the moment?
Well, I think before we can do anything, we have to be something. Our actions have to spring from our inner character. And I would say that above all, we need to get out of ourselves our mind of arrogance, which so characterizes the Western world, and having us a mind of humility and a mind of understanding and compassion for all the peoples of the world. And I think above that, we need to realize anew our identity with all mankind rather than just with one segment of it. When we can see the world as a totality, not divided up into nations or states, but as a whole, extending our love to all of mankind, I think we'll be on the road to something great.
Is water as old as gravity?
Is war 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 as old as gravity?
As old as gravity.
Is war as old as gravity?
Is war as old as gravity?
Hello, welcome to Mikey Pod, episode 66. Today is September 19th, 2006, and it will probably be a while before I get this posted. It takes a little doing to find an internet connection that will get me what I need to upload the show, but I will. The beginning of this show, you heard a song that was sent to me by Dave Calderbank, and I can't pronounce it, and it's got a bunch of French talking in it, so I don't know what that was. So hopefully it's not anything that goes contrary to what Clarence Jordan is the way he pronounced his name, had to say in the beginning. I thought that was really great. That was from an interview that was conducted in 1968, I believe it was. And so here I am. It's Quintanilla week two, really. I guess I've been here for about a week and a half. Orientation has finished. I've worked in just about every area here, from building the chapel to working in the bakery, making candy, and picking up sticks. And this place is pretty cool. So here's what I want to do. There are a few different areas of what there is for me to tell you about my experience here. So I think right now one of the things I'm most excited about is learning about the history of this place, and it's really pretty amazing. There's so much civil rights history here, and I don't even know where to start, and there's so much of it. So I think I'm just giving you a taste of it. I have some samples of different clips from Clarence Jordan in different radio interviews. And then one is an address or a speech he gave in 1954, which was really kind of the height of when Quintanilla was being terrorized by the people that surrounded this area. In a nutshell, here, let me give you this quote. This is Clarence talking with in that same radio interview. This time he's describing what the farm is all about.
Now, talking about the South, you have been associated with a farm community or a farm village.
Yeah.
And I'm going to try and pronounce this and see if I get it right the first time. My Greek is very poor. Koinonia.
Correct.
It
Your
is right.
Greek is very good.
Koinonia. Well, all right.
Yeah.
I feel much better now, which is the Greek word for community.
That's correct. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Now, what sort of a community is this?
Well, Mr. Morrison, we wanted to make it a contemporary church community. In the Deep South in which I grew up, I felt that the church had failed to really bear witness to some of the central teachings of the Christian faith. One was on the matter of race. We had paid lip service to the idea of brotherhood, but that's all. We had not practiced it. We had paid lip service to the idea of peace, but we had not practiced it. We had paid lip service to the idea of equality of the brethren, of sharing, but great extremes of wealth and poverty had existed right in the church. So actually, we conceived of it as not so much a community as a church in which some of these ideas would become the basis of our life, that we would scuttle the ideas of segregation and swallow them up in the larger Christian ideas of brotherhood and of.
And I don't know what happened to the end of that. I think I wanted to end it with of brotherhood. So this is a Christian place, and don't let that turn you off, because it's tempting to do so if you're like me. But did you listen to that? He's talking about really Christian stuff. And I don't hear like the people on TV talking like that. You know, like the Jerry Falwells and that sort of thing. This guy was really committed to, he called this, he wanted to build a demonstration plot for the kingdom of God, which meant he wanted to really live and have a community of people that really lived the way that the Bible told them to. And this was 1942, and that meant that black people and white people would be living here, and people freaked out. Like he said in another interview, he was talking about the fact that at first it was more about the fact that they were pacifists, and this was during World War II. The race thing wasn't as huge a deal until later on, although it was a huge deal. Here's another little segment where he talks about some Klan members coming to the farm.
We had hardly gotten on the place when we had some Negro visitors, and we invited them right in. We were very happy to have them, and we sat down and ate, and we could not control who came and who went, and about the same time some white neighbors dropped in, and they saw what was going on right there in South Georgia, and their mouths dropped open. It reminded me of the entrance to Mammoth Cave there. Well, I knew there would be some trouble after that, and a day or two later, some couple of gentlemen came, said that they had been sent by the Ku Klux Klan, which at that time was not defunct, and they said, we want to come right to the point with you. We want to let you know that we don't let the sun set on folks that do things like that here. And I put on my broadest smile and stuck out my hand and said, well, I'm just so happy to meet you. All my life I wanted to meet some people who had power over the sun. And I said, we will be watching it with great interest tonight. And sure enough, the sun did go right on down as usual. No Joshua there at all.
So as you can see, this guy was, what's the word? Charismatic. Thank you, me. And he was really well-spoken and just friendly and charming and all of that stuff. But really, things got nasty here. And it's so cool to be saying here that I'm on the site of all of this. There is a definite sort of feel of this being a sacred place. And in a lot of ways, it's just strange to me that not more people don't know about this. And really, I just want to give you a taste of all this stuff today. And there's a woman here who I've asked to come over to the duplex, which is where I'm staying. And she gave us sort of a history and a tour of the museum that's here. And she could do a much better job about telling the story than I could. Because she's been here a while, and she's just delightful. So what I'm going to do is just play some more things. I wanted to say earlier that I'm going to sort of do history or just information about this place in the beginning of the next few podcasts, and then talk about sort of what my experience has been like here. And sort of I'm having some real shifts about the way I want to do a lot of things. One of those is just kind of how I feel about the civil rights movement, where it is and how it sort of applies to us homos. So what's the other thing I have? Ooh, this one is really good. Hold on. It's where he talks about nonviolence.
We had agreed on several fundamental principles. One was that as we read the New Testament, it became clear to us that God is the father of men irrespective of their race. We agreed that we would hold to that, regardless of the consequences. Second, we agreed that the way of Christ was not the way of nonviolence, but the way of active goodwill. Now, I might digress a little bit there to say that I don't believe in nonviolence. These white citizens' councils are applying a tremendous amount of nonviolence against Koinonia right now. There's a little bit of violence going along with it. But on the whole, they're depending upon the boycott, which is nonviolent. Jesus taught more than that. It was not just nonviolence, but it was active goodwill. And so we agreed to commit ourselves to actively trying to love even those who were opposed to us and to overcome their evil by doing good. And I could cite you a lot of opportunities that we've had along that line. And then third, we committed ourselves to the equality of the believers, economically and otherwise. So that meant, of course, having a common place. It meant the renunciation of all personal property. Into our fellowship, we would accept people as equals, but we could not see how they could come in if property were dividing them. So one of the requirements for membership in our group is that you have no earthly possessions. Jesus said it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom. We haven't even had one to apply, but we just don't want to have him to have any trouble entering it, so we just unload him at the door.
Some of that has changed, though, at this point. There's no longer a common purse, and you're not expected to give away all of your possessions when you come here. But it is the community life thing is really cool. I don't know. I mean, I'm only a couple weeks into it. It may get old, but I really am appreciating just having people around. And I don't know, last night there was a banana smoothie party for Anne's birthday. And, you know, like, there are kids here, there are older people, like, much older people, and we all kind of, like, I think just the fact that everyone was drawn to a place like this is what makes everyone connect, and I'm sure there's some tensions that I don't even know about. So one of the other things I wanted to talk about was the fact that while I'm here, I will have a spiritual companion. And, you know, that's really cool, too, like, the spiritual aspect of this place, because I have a lot of spiritual beliefs that I can talk about in AA, sort of. But, you know, just being in a place where it's okay and it's, like, common to say, I just came here because I was led here. I mean, that's something that I feel even weird talking about here. But so I have this spiritual companion, and he is Jewish, which I was... two religions that I have really pretty much ignored in my quest for a spiritual, you know, understanding, or have been Christianity and Judaism. Christianity, because and this is really interesting because let's see, all of the interns were there. There are four of us, plus our spiritual companions, along with the director of Koinonia. And so we were talking about our history, and I hadn't really officially come out to anyone as being gay until the director I've known for years, so she already knew. So we had this talk, and I spoke really clearly and plainly about the fact that when I was an adolescent and realizing that I was gay, and also at a time in my life when I may have done some spiritual exploration, I really heard that God didn't like gay people. And so I decided then that I couldn't be spiritual, that God didn't want to have anything to do with me. So sharing about that openly was also one of those moments of like, okay, what are y'all going to do with that? And nobody cares. You know, they cared about the fact that I had that struggle, but I don't think anyone here really cares about the fact that I'm gay. And like, there are lots of Christian people here, and it's really exciting to learn that there are like people who aren't freaks who are also Christian and doing what, you know, one of my big beefs with Christianity has been that, you know, I have a general idea about the whole thou shalt not kill judgment, you know, thou shalt not judge or whatever. And it never really seemed like Christians were doing that. But this place is different. And hold on. We're having a book study on this book called Irresistible Revolution from Shane Claiborne. And that'll start next week. I just started reading the book. And this is another Christian radical who is a total liberal and who is the Simple Way community. I think it's in Philadelphia. And it's an intentional community like this. It really excites me to see this stuff going on. And there's more of this than we realize. You know, when we're all complaining about how bad the government is and why doesn't anyone do anything, well, we're not looking and we're not being shown these things. So I'll share all of this stuff with you. How about a song? This song is called I Hate the War. I'm such a hippie.
Still going on. still going on. And it goes na 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 na.
Okay, that was the ballet with I Hate the War. It sounds like I'm amplifying myself somewhere else besides these headphones. It's freaking me out. But my speakers are totally off. That's so weird. Anyway, I got an email. Well, two Q-Potter people I want to mention. One is Rob of Average Penis fame. I don't know. He didn't want to be called that anymore. I can't remember if anything new has happened. And frankly, I'm having a hard time with downloading podcasts, so I haven't been listening nearly as much as I used to. That's one major drawback about being out here. Internet, I can have internet connection. I just carry my laptop over to the office, but it's a satellite connection, so uploading is horribly slow. And downloading is kind of slow too, especially when I try to download multiple podcasts at one time. So I've had to really like narrow down my podcast listening. Here's the email from Zillafag. Sounds like hippie land is cool. Okay, now on to the questions. Fags, what do they think of that? I already discussed that. I think that they don't care. I can tell you the Southern Baptists sure hate us. They probably do. It's just like these are... the thing that's so interesting about this is when I bring up any of these things, most people look embarrassed that, yeah, some of us are acting like that, and that's embarrassing. That's just the sense I get. No one has told me they were embarrassed. But, you know, like, let me read the email. he said, now, is this an offshoot of Southern Baptist? Well, yeah, like, the guy that started it was a Southern Baptist. But let me read more of this. Here is some of the nice stuff they, Southern Baptist Convention, come up with in June of this year. A motion that the SBC, Southern Baptist Convention, refrain from using the word gay when referring to homosexuals in sermons, publications, and in the media, and that Baptist pastors and those in other denominations be asked to do the same. Submitted by William L. Gay, Jr. of Winterville, North Carolina Baptist Church. Okay, this is back to Zillafag. When I hear that old gospel music, all I hear is, we are hypocrites who love Jesus and hate fags. Now, I see on the website they have something about... Oh, hold on. Now I see on... incidentally, I'm reading this off of Gmail on my Palm Trio. Now I see on the website they have something about welcoming to sexual orientation stuff, but do they also support the churches who are all hating on us? No, I don't believe so. I don't think Koinonia really supports as a group anything. A lot of people here go to different churches on Sunday. We have a chapel in the mornings, Monday through Friday. I haven't run into any anti-gay people here. But they may go to churches that do dislike gays or hate fags, etc. So I don't know. I'll do some exploration on that. What is the thought on organized religion causing wars, and do they think that there is only one way to heaven? As far as organized religion causing wars, I think that most people here would agree with that. Do they think there is only one way to heaven? I don't know. I doubt it, but I haven't really addressed that with anyone yet. I'll also check that out. How about why did God create man? I don't know. I don't know how they feel about that either. I should have investigated some of these. I missed these at the end. Can you drink booze? Wait, I feel like I missed something. Wow, dead air, sorry. Can you drink booze? And if, Hold on, going to the next page. This takes a long time because cell service is actually slow out here too. Can you drink booze? And if so, why not be able to smoke pot? It used to be alcohol and pot used to be forbidden. Not forbidden, but there were, you know, well, I guess forbidden is a fair word. But I was talking to the director and they took away the rule against drinking because they were drinking at special events and it seemed hypocritical to have that rule for the people in residence, but not for the special events. So alcohol is allowed. Pot is not allowed because it's illegal and just no illegal drugs. What came first, the chicken or the egg? The chicken, of course. And, okay, I'm getting silly now. I want to know what work you are doing in the chapel that you are not fond of. Anything. I don't like being out there. There are gnats everywhere. And I just don't like that kind of work. The day that I was complaining about working in the chapel, I was doing, what do they call it when you put cement, that like real sandy cement on the outside of stuff. I keep wanting to say grout. Stucco. I was stuccoing these blocks and it was a huge pain in the ass and I hated it. I found out I'm going to be doing mostly work with the orders and stuff, which you can order all the stuff that I've been making this week too. Chocolate bark, pecan bark, peanut brittle, all this stuff. You can order granola and the stuff is really good. You can order coffee from us. KoinoniaPartners.org. KOINONIA partners.org. I think that's all I've got. So, did I even say what I wanted to say to Rob? No, Rob, thank you. Last week I uploaded the right show, but linked to the wrong show on the blog. And Rob, like within minutes, emailed me or sent me a text message, voicemail. It's hard to tell, alerting me to that fact. And I called him rather rudely because I get so irritated with the connection out here and with a cell phone and then on top of that. So I was totally rude to Rob and I apologize, but I also thank you for posting that, going in and fixing it for me because I wouldn't have been able to do that for another day. So that totally saved my life. Thank you, Rob. Thanks for Letterzilla. Thank you, everyone. I think that's all I've got today. I don't really have a song to close with. I'll find one. So for now, that's it. You can email me, please, mikeypod@gmail.com. The website is at mikeypod.com. And you can call 206-339-6682. Hopefully that number still works because I haven't gotten a voicemail from anyone in a really long time. So that's it. Thanks for listening. And if you're enjoying the show, and you feel like this is some important historical information, please tell your friends, because I just don't have time. When I sit on the computer, I don't have time to sit there and promote myself. And it always gives me the creeps to do that anyway. But I'm also totally excited about this place and what it represents. So I'd love for more people to know about it. Anyway, peace out. Oh, I found the song. This is Ryuichi Sakamoto. And the song I think is called Trist. T-R-I-S-T-E. And this Dave's song reminded me of this song. So this is it. Yeah.
From France.
Cherche, sans jamais trouver l'enfant que le ciel lui avait donné. Un vieil homme irakien se baladait un beau matin en plein désert. Quelle misère. Puis ça avait des cassos américains qui traitent encore les bacs comme des chiens. Évidemment pas tous, bien sûr je pousse du tout. Bon. C'est ce que je te dis quand tu tues partout la jalousie, tu l'amour.
tous les siens, tous les siens, tous les siens, tous les siens, tous les siens. Un vieil homme irakien se baladait un beau matin en plein désert, un goût amer. La canicule lui fait suer les mains. Ses mains ont une légère et donc il s'est servi la guerre pour protéger les siens. En vain, pour propager le bien. En vain, en priant tous les saints. En vain, je dis bien. Ses mains ont une légère et donc il s'est servi la guerre pour protéger les siens. En vain, pour propager le bien. En vain, en priant tous les saints. En vain, en vain. Il cherche sans jamais trouver l'enfant que le ciel lui avait pourtant bien donné et qu'un patriote un peu trop musclé lui a emporté. Tous les siens, 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 tous les siens. Enfin, enfin. Payez ça. Américains qui traitent encore les blagues comme des chiens. Évidemment pas tous, bien sûr je pousse tous. Bon, tu sais ce que je te dis quand tu tousses. Partout la jalousie, tu l'amour. Tous les siens. Enfin. Enfin, un vieil homme irakien se baladait un beau matin en plein désert. Un vieil homme irakien se baladait un beau matin en plein désert. Tous les siens. Un vieil homme irakien se baladait un beau matin en plein désert. Un vieil homme irakien se baladait un beau matin en plein désert. Tous les siens. Un vieil homme irakien se baladait un beau matin en plein désert. Un vieil homme irakien se baladait.